Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Radiant Cash Management 4Q FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raju Barnawal from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good morning and welcome everyone to Q4 FY26 earnings conference call of Radiant Cash Management. Today we have with us the management of Radiant Cash Management represented by Colonel David Devasahayam, MD sir, Mr. Alexander Davies, Full-time Director, Mr. Venkatraman, CFO, and Mr. Muthuraman, Strategy and IR. With this, I hand over the call to MD sir for his opening remarks, post which we will start the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Raju. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today for Radiant's investor call. The standalone revenues for the year were flat over the previous year. We had excellent growth in e-commerce, which witnessed 21% annual growth. Petroleum sector and organized retail also grew well over the last year. However, we have been highlighting in our early analyst calls, our revenue growth was affected by the loss of a few regions of railways to competition and loss of a large client in the e-com logistics segment, which got acquired by a larger player. Our standalone EBITDA margins for the quarter Q4 financial year 26 continued its improving trend over the last few quarters and was at 15%. In this quarter, up from 13.6% in Q3 FY26. The improvement was mainly on account of various cost reduction measures undertaken by the company. We handled cash volume of rupees 1.69 trillion during the year financial year 26, a growth of about 1% over the previous year. The management is taking several measures to improve revenue growth, which would help in restoring the EBITDA margins to past healthier levels. Rigorous focus on adding direct clients, increased trust on dedicated cash vans, empanelment with smaller banks, including cooperative banks and rural banks, are some of the measures taken by the management that will improve the core business revenues. In terms of margins, I'm highlighting two specific aspects below, which will help improving our financial performance in the current financial year. In the core business, the operating leverage will help improve the margins when the revenues grow at a healthy pace, as a significant portion of our costs are fixed in nature. Radiant Valuable Logistics has reached the top line of rupees 60.7 million for the year, with steady improvement in performance quarter on quarter. Though this division is still reporting negative EBITDA, the trend line is encouraging. With recent strengthening of the management team in this division and recent addition of five marquee national jewelry chains, this division is likely to achieve break-even in the first half of the current financial year, which will improve the overall profitability. The management is taking several cost reduction measures, including route optimization with the help of technology, discontinuation of select low-density routes, and staff cost optimization. The results are already visible in the trend line of steady improvement in standalone EBITDA margins. We are redoubling our efforts to provide alternate cash collection solutions, including business correspondent model and InstaCredit, and expect these measures to have a meaningful impact on our profitability in the current financial year. Coming to our consolidated financial performance, the overall consolidated PAT has dropped to rupees 280 million in FY26 from rupees 470 million in FY25, largely on account of losses incurred in our fintech subsidiary. As we had indicated during our last earnings call, the PIDF subsidy had ended in December 2025 and the subsidiary is working towards improving its transaction revenues rapidly. The losses in the interim are transitory and the team is confident of turning EBITDA positive in the first half of the current financial year and contribute meaningfully to the overall profitability of the company in the full year. Mr. Alexander David will provide more details on Radiant Ace Money performance and future plans. We remain committed to providing transparent updates on our progress and answering any questions that you may have. I now request Alex to speak about the performance of Radiant Ace Money, followed by Mr. Venkat Ramanan to speak about the financial performance and the key performance indicators. It's over to you, Alex.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining this earnings call. I would be presenting the update on Radiant Ace Money, our fintech subsidiary. Radiant Ace Money reported revenue of rupees 287.8 million for the year FY26, representing a 19.6% growth over the previous year. Currently, we have approximately 1.5 lakh merchants onboarded for POS machines and added approximately 60,000 sound boxes. Over the year, we also facilitated digital transactions of approximately rupees 1,140 crores, establishing our presence as a serious fintech player, particularly in rural areas. As reported in our last earnings call, the fourth quarter performance was poor as the PIDF subsidy ended on 31st December 2025. For the current financial year, the management is seriously pursuing transaction revenues from already installed POS machines, besides adding new business verticals to pursue aggressive growth plans. Towards this end, the management has already signed up with two reputed small finance banks, a large NBFC, and a few banks to provide fintech services and support their network rollout plans. We are also in the process of developing many of the merchant outlets into business correspondents to provide a much wider variety of financial services, including accepting cash from our retail cash management business at competitive rates to help grow the core business of the consolidated entity. I'm happy to report that we have now over 10,000 business correspondents that offer our wide array of fintech services. We continue to provide regular updates on the progress of Ace Money to our investors as we scale greater heights in the coming months. I would now request our CFO, Mr. Venkat Raman, to present our financial performance.
Thank you, Alex. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us on this investor call today. I'll present the company's key performance indicators and financial performance for the quarter and year ended 31st March 2026. During this financial year, we added 118 new clients and 230 new end customers in our retail cash management business. For the quarter ended 31st March 2026, we added 2,173 new points, taking out total service points for the year to 77,521. In FY26, we handled rupees 1.69 trillion of cash, a growth of about 1% over the same period last year. The overall retail cash management business remained largely flat during this year due to loss of certain regions of railways and loss of a key e-commerce logistics client due to merger. Our gross cash losses for FY26 stood at rupees 33 million or 0.002% of the total cash handled during the year. This is one of the best performance in the industry, a reflection of our strong focus on risk management and ex-servicemen culture in our company. Radiant Valuable Logistics grew about 35% in FY26 over the previous year and is on its way to achieve a positive EBITDA in the current financial year. Induction of an experienced management team, signing up of 5 marquee national jewelry chains, and optimization of routes are key, some of the key initiatives taken in the last few months to improve profitability in this business vertical. Coming to financial performance, the consolidated revenues for the year were rupees 4.4 billion, representing 1.1% growth over the previous year. The standalone EBITDA margins for the quarter continued its improving trend and clocked 15% for Q4 of FY26 as against 13.6% in Q3 of FY26 despite the losses in Orwell division. The consolidated EBITDA margins for the quarter dropped to 10.7% due to losses in ASWAT. For the year FY27, the key milestones the management is striving towards Orwell profitability and improving the revenue growth of the core business. The management is taking several concrete measures to meet each of these milestones and confident the same will reflect in the financial performance in the coming quarters. I now hand over the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankit Kanodia from Zen Nivesh. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Couple of questions is related to your opening remarks for me. So you mentioned about our efforts towards getting the direct customers. We used to share that number percentage of revenue. It was from 1%, it grew to around 13% sometime in the last quarter. What is that number today and how do we see that number growing in the next say, couple of years? Directionally, I'm not looking for a definite guidance, but directionally.
No, we are at about 18% now and growing. Mm-hmm. So it's a real critical area of focus as of now, and we hope to grow steadily in this segment.
Is it fair to assume, sir, that we'll be able to say reach around 30% in the next 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, within the next 2 years, 30% is the reachable target.
Great. Thank you, sir. That was very helpful. So, second question is regarding the business correspondence business which you are talking about. So, there is a player in the industry who has been in the business correspondence business since long and recently got a SFB license. So, they are in the process of selling their business correspondence business. Are we exploring not just that company, but acquiring, because we have a healthy balance sheet and a lot of cash, are we also looking for M&A initiatives here or we want to grow it organically, the business correspondence?
See, we are always open to inorganic acquisitions like the way we did the ASWARE acquisition. But we take a fairly conservative approach. It will be at valuations that are acceptable to us. We do come across opportunities and continuously evaluate. This particular instance is probably too large for us to absorb.
Right. That was one last question, sir, before I join in the queue. Sir, I think we have done a phenomenal job in terms of if you look at the standalone EBITDA increase even when I hear when we had a flat revenue growth. So most of the initiatives have largely played out and probably will start kicking in the next year. And given the kind of valuation at which our stock is trading and the kind of cash we have on our balance sheet, are we exploring a buyback?
Currently, we are exploring it also as an option. And we go with detailed discussions with our larger shareholders.
Okay.
And also with our consultants and advisors. So we are looking at it as an option, and also we've been a company paying the strongest dividends over the years. So that we would like to continue. I mean, based on the larger interest and the larger response that we see, we'll take an appropriate decision in the matter.
That was very helpful, sir. Can I ask one more question or shall I join the queue?
Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So, my last question is, if you can just give a qualitative view of how do we see Age Money 2-3 years, the business growing in terms of, I'm not just asking in terms of numbers, but more in terms of how do we see the business branching out more qualitatively going forward in the next 3 years, 4 years. That would be very helpful.
No, this is, you know, it's a good strategy question that you're asking, and that I'm glad that gives me an opportunity to respond to it. See, with the digitization that started off, we wanted to explore because we have a presence in over 14,000 PIN codes. So we decided to explore as to whether we could make use of this strong presence and network across all geographies of the country, whether we could also bring in the digitization revenue into our as a hybrid model and therefore move from physical cash to digital. So it is with that in mind that Radiant Ace Money was acquired. And we are strongly moving in that direction. As was also mentioned earlier, we are also applying and trying to secure in the main company, in the holding company, a payment aggregator license from the RBI. So this is for us a very strong vertical that we are looking at. And what we are passing through is normal growth pangs that we would have and challenges in the initial stages of growth. But this is going to become a very strong part of our foundation in the time ahead.
Thank you so much, sir, and all the best for the future. And I'll come back to the queue if I have more questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. We will take our next question from the line of Harshit from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So on a consolidated basis, what is the revenue and EBITDA outlook do we have for FY 27 and 28?
For FYT, we have not put out a specific guidance, but I think we had mentioned in the last earnings call also, our objective is to reach 5 billion in revenue and 11-12% in PAT margins for FY27. And longer term growth in PAT should be in the mid-teens is what we expect.
Okay, understood. How much losses have we incurred in our fintech subsidiary Ace Money and also the Radiant Valuable Logistic business in FY26, and what can be the revenue PAT outlook for FY28?
RVL had 60 million in
26
in losses in FY26, and Ace Money anyway, as in it is clear, it's about 100 million 10 crores of losses in FY26, PAT level losses in FY26. What is the next question? For the subsidiaries or for the consolidated group?
For the subsidiaries.
So for the subsidiaries, our immediate goal is to turn both of them PAT positive in the current financial year, hopefully in the first half itself.
Okay.
for both of them.
Right, but do we have any target as in what kind of revenues can we achieve from them in, let's say, in 2 years down the line?
See, the market opportunities are fairly large, as in this business can, as in the subsidiary Aceware business can grow to 50 to 75 crores in revenues in the timeline that you indicate.
Okay, and we used to 60 crores of PAT once, right? So what things have to fall in place to have the similar, you know, like similar PAT of, let's say, 60 crores?
Yeah, this CFO indicated, these are the three key imperatives: turn both the subsidiary, the RVL and Ace Money profitable, and the core business growth. If we are able to achieve 12-14% growth, we should be able to reach there.
Okay, sir. And so my last question is regarding, if I see Q4 FY26 results, so we have done an EBITDA of 8.5%. So this is our lowest EBITDA since the last 12 quarters. So where do we stay? What level can we expect for next quarter? Like, what is the outlook over there?
Standalone or consolidated you're talking of?
Consolidated basis.
A consolidated basis had this one exceptional item which we have moved below EBITDA, and one and the subsidiary level losses, as I indicated, that will be we are working towards turning that around. So consolidated levels as an immediate target would be to reach about 15% plus.
Okay, thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and 1. We will take a next question from the line of Love Gupta from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, firstly, I wanted to understand what was the quantum of the business that we lost due to loss of these customers? And, you know, what sort of growth rate can we expect for FY27 and customer additions that we can expect next year?
Yeah, the railways loss of revenues were on an annualized basis roughly about 9-10 crores. And
okay.
The e-com segment is about 4 crores.
Okay. And secondly, you know what, if you could help me understand the roadmap to profitability for our valuable logistics business and fintech subsidiary.
Yeah, so valuable logistics, we have made in a lot of efforts now in our sales. We have a very experienced sales team, and we have been approaching a lot of major corporate customers, and we have been seeing a lot of positive responses over there. So, like almost 3 or 4 very, very large names in the jewelry sector, we're in the last stages of empanelment as we speak. So, our strategy is very simple. Once we start working with these corporate giants, because they work with almost everybody in the jewelry industry, even our name is going to spread very, very positively in the market. And we're very, very confident that this year we should be able to achieve break-even and turn this business around. We have a very strong team in place who now understands how this business works. And we're working the model in a very conservative manner. And we're very confident that this will be turning around. On the Ace Money front,
yeah. On the Ace Money front, like Colonel mentioned, as in our key strength is a strong presence in the rural areas. So we are working with a couple of small finance banks, a few NBFCs, and even a few old private sector banks to help roll out their their QR codes, their sound boxes, their POS machines in the hinterlands. And so we're fairly confident that the rollout plans, the ambitious rollout plans that we have, working with these reputed banks and NBFCs, we should be able to achieve these numbers. Already, three are already signed up, two small finance banks and NBFCs already signed up.
Okay, so FY27, you said the businesses will achieve break-even. So going forward after break-even, what sort of operating margins can we expect to generate from these businesses?
Yeah. See, the based on the in the case of RVL, it's again an operating leverage business, so there is no steady number that I can put, but we aim to work towards about 20% EBITDA margin, reaching 20% EBITDA margin on a steady state basis. In Ace Money, it is a little more tricky because the transaction volumes are a healthy margins business, whereas the one-time revenue of rollout is slightly lower margins. At a combined level, as in it should be definitely in double digits.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Next question is from the line of Amit Mahindele from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So my first question is on the cash. Like how much cash are we holding currently, and does it include any customer cash or is it all company corporate cash?
We have got about 100 crores of cash in our books, our own cash. Out of that, free cash is about 60 crores is available as of March 26. In addition to the customer cost, which is through for the CMS business, which gets rolled over within every 48 hours.
Right, sir. And on the core business, how do you see growth? I don't know if I missed the earlier comment. For the core business, like FY27, how do you see, what type of growth do you see?
Yeah, like I said, Adil, we are working towards a mid-teen, mid-teen kind of growth rates in revenue.
Okay, sir. Because I was looking at the touch points, and I don't see that type of growth in the touch points in the presentation.
Okay.
Typically, yeah, the touch points should increase in tandem.
Ideally, yes, but because of that large loss of three regions in railways, it skewed the picture. We see the quarter, this quarter we added about 2,100 points. But overall, for the year, there's a slight drop in the overall number of touch points between last year and this year. And, yeah, that over a longer period of time, you will see a fair degree of correlation between the number of touch points and the revenue growth.
So, I mean, the plan to add touch points stays as it is, right?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir. Right, sir. And my last question is on the, the RVL business, the valuables business. Like the customers that we are pitching to currently, right? What type of change management do they have to do? Like we are, say, pitching for cash management. So what is the customer doing currently?
Well, a lot of the major corporate jewelers are working through the banks, and we are also providing them services as end customers. When it comes to the other segments in the jewelry business, let's say wholesalers, a lot of them are doing it on their own. But the good thing is our RVL sales teams, we have also kind of made them well-versed with our products in the CMS business as well. So as and when they are approaching for sales, they are also pitching the RCMS business as well. And we have already had some success there. Almost 5 to 6 customers we have added for the RCMS side as well. So cross-selling is also happening on the ground for both the verticals.
Right, sir. But I mean, for the large type of jewelry corporates that we were talking about, that may be a little tough to crack because the banks will have more entrenched relationships with those corporates. So the banks will provide various other services apart from cash management.
We are very careful.
Correct?
Yes, we are very careful to not antagonize the banks. So when it comes to large corporates, we usually don't pitch the CMS business, especially if we're already working with them through the banks. But we're mainly only targeting those customers where there is a potential for direct customer acquisition.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
No. And just to add, even if the banks offer retail cash management services, there are 37 banks that offer these services, but there are only two nationwide service providers. So anyway, the business comes to us only.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star and one. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Chavla, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning everyone. So regarding the Ace Money collaboration with the banks for rural rollout, could you just expand on the nature of contract you have? Is it outsourcing or you are collaborating in another way?
No, it's not outsourcing. Banks have some small finance banks, they have their own targets for reaching out in rural areas or unpenetrated markets. So we do a tripartite collaboration with a small finance bank and a payment aggregator and us. And we, since we have the feet on street in the last mile, so we install the machines, install the software, and activate those, and we get a one-time as well as a continuous transaction revenues. Some NBFCs, in their branches, we are facilitating digital transactions and providing machines on rent and getting transaction revenues as well. For a few banks, we do some outsourcing, as in for large private sector banks. We do some bit of outsourcing. But the predominant focus is on the first two, small finance banks and NBFCs, where we are able to, where they don't have strong branch presence in these regions, particularly the small finance banks, whereas we have a strong network. It's a win-win for both of us.
Got it. Is it fair to say that you are the small finance banks or NBFCs are leveraging your digital infrastructure?
Our rural feet on street infrastructure, as well as our software and the fintech solution platform.
Got it. And regarding the valuable logistics, when you say reaching break even, the way I understand is, I've asked this previously as well, as we add more clients, we'll add more routes. So how do you say when you reach break even? So I'm just trying to understand, if we add more clients, I think the losses will continue for more while the top line still grows. So could you clarify on the break-even target, what you are saying?
Yeah, so the mistake which we did earlier is we had kind of opened a lot of lanes without any kind of actual sales to efficiently move goods across those lanes. So now we have a very good strategy in place. We have a certain number of lanes which we are focusing all our sales teams to push business for. And how it works in this business is we have a kind of fixed cost, our vehicles, our airway movements. And all we need to do is fill up those containers, those valve boxes to move across those lanes. The more and more we increase volumes across those lanes, the costs kind of remain the same. There's not much incremental cost. And as in when more and more volumes and additional revenue getting added on, the cost will get absorbed, and then after that we are able to turn those lanes profitable. So we're already seeing some positive development. About 25 to 30% of our lanes have already turned around. We are now completely focused on going into the market and filling up the other lanes as well. Also the good thing is because we have a very strong network in RCMS, we are able to open lanes very, very quickly, but we are being extremely careful to only expand when we are seeing that kind of revenue potential.
Got it. So is it fair to say there is a little shift in your strategy? Earlier you were more focused on opening lanes. Right now, when you are reaching to the major marquee brands also, you are still offering them those lanes which are currently operational. Instead of offering them, we will open a new range for you.
That's correct. We first obviously pitch the lanes which we are very strong in. But in case it's a very major customer and then they have some special requirements, then we're able to maybe do special lanes for them. But also we give them additional pricing for that. There is special pricing. And we also request them to move maximum volume through our existing lanes in case we need to do anything special for them.
Yeah, or work for a parallel list for instead of 24-hour delivery, 48-hour delivery or 72-hour delivery.
Yeah, we also have frequency, so based on load and consolidation, we don't move them every day. We can move them sometimes twice or thrice a week based on how much of consolidation we have. That's how we have structured the whole business.
No, that's good to know because it was a new vertical for you all and now you are optimizing it. Like that is what I understand. And lastly, I just wanted to know some, like in this whole call, earlier the cash van was a very big focus. Like, where is it standing as of now? Could you just throw some light on that?
Yeah. So that is continues to be a focus. Like we announced earlier, we've got a large contract for rolling out of dedicated cash vans. And three more large contracts are in pipeline in discussions. So that will continue to drive our growth. So the cash van operations, the share of cash van operations has been steadily increasing, as you can see in our investor presentation, you have highlighted that. It's about 12% today. Cash van operations are about 12% of our revenues. Continue to go.
Mr. Chavla, you want to ask more questions?
Oh, no, that's all for mine. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. We will take our next question from the line of Sandeep Samantha, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Samantha, your line is unmuted. Please proceed. Mr. Samantha, as there is no response from the current participants, we will take the next question from the line of Dilip Kumar Sahu, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, you're audible.
My question was on the core business. We had picked up a large project, order from an existing customer. Is that rollout started? Can we expect it to completely reflect in Q1 onward?
Yeah, rollout has started from 1st April onwards,
So the core business, that order itself would have added around 3-4% on this year's top line, on the core business. So, is it fair to say that the core business will grow double digit outside that that order? And the question is mostly, there's been a lot of inflationary cost in the last two quarters, particularly in both in wages as well as and fuel. Do we have a way to reflect that in the current year's revenue?
Yeah, this is a good question. Actually, we are all seized with the fuel crisis and the consequent cost of fuel. And as a consequence, you must have read it in the papers, our Cash Logistics Association or the Currency Cycle Association has jointly now approached all our banks to relook at how best they can accommodate this and help us with this fuel charges which have gone up. And so that process of discussion has commenced. So we look forward to some positive outcome from that, which will help us in managing these additional charges, which is obviously going to have an impact on the overall operational expenditure.
Sure. So you know, assuming that we have a favorable outcome of this whole exercise, where do you think we will end up in the core? I'm not talking about the subsidiary losses. I understand they are unpredictable. And while we are all optimistic, you know, it may or may not happen. But our core business itself has suffered a lot. And listening to your other peer, they are taking very surgical measures to you know, cut down on cost, and that is reflecting already into their results. So when will our core operations show healthy profitability?
We are very serious with this issue, and as you mentioned, I mean, this is something that is being universally looked at by our industry. And we are quite positive that it will have its resultant positive impact right from the first half of this financial year.
Sure, sir. This is regarding the exceptional item that is reflecting in the consolidated number. Now, if we take out that exceptional item also, there are some, you know, RBI had mandated certain deployments and some incentives. Now, what would be the total impact of such kind of one odd events like the deployment of POS till December, as well as now the unfortunate this thing? What is the net impact of this one-time events? Can we quantify that on the subsidiaries?
No, the impact of this exceptional item on the subsidiaries is about 31 million.
Yeah, that's
which has been provided in the Q4. Pardon, sir?
Yeah. The POS deployment we did last year, I mean last financial year, is that's not a repeatable event, right? I know we will be, the RBI incentives are already withdrawn on the POS deployment, isn't it?
Yeah, so the PIDF subsidy ended in December, but we, like I said, we have, while since the subsidy was available and was to be expired, a significant management focus was on that particular area for the last two quarters, that is Q2 and Q3 of last year. Since then, as in, we have been working for in utilizing our rural network strength, and have already signed up with, as I said, the two small finance banks and this thing. So we are no longer dependent on the PIDF to grow our business. We have ambitious growth plans for the current year, and definitely try to achieve break even within the first two quarters in that business.
Sure.
There is large business opportunity available for us to tap into rolling out one, capitalizing on our existing 1.5 lakh plus POS machines in terms of transaction revenues, to deploy more equipment like sound boxes and QR code in these these and newer outlets, as well as deployment of larger machines through these small finance banks.
Sure. And you are saying that despite the withdrawal of the incentive, it is be remunerative to deploy those POS and sound boxes in the rural
area? Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one. Next question is from the line of Chandamouli Jagannathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. When it comes to our consolidated numbers, sir, I could see that the turnover when it comes from the consolidated, I mean, the from the subsidiary, it's only about 70 lakhs in the last quarter. So, there is anything that I am missing, or the transaction revenue alone is only 70 lakhs. Otherwise, if I look at the cost, even a fixed cost employee and the other expenses is roughly about 6 crores for on a quarterly basis, apart from the depreciation. So, to achieve break-even, I think you'll have to achieve 6 to 7 crores run rate on a quarterly basis. Correct me if I am wrong.
Okay, so the... to achieve break even, it will be slightly less, as in we will be probably at about 4.5 crores per quarter is what the break even revenues will be. The numbers you said are right. About a crore, less than a crore is the standalone revenue for the subsidiary for Q4, because that was the transition period. But in a sense, as I mentioned, we already signed up with small finance banks and an NBFC, and the numbers are much stronger in expect the numbers to be much stronger in the first quarter this year.
So without even considering the POS sales mission and things like that, but that's, I think it's got over in the last December itself.
No. Yeah. See, only the subsidy got over, but we still have the banks have their own mandate to roll out machines. Their own small finance banks are hungry for growth in specific geographies where they would want to grow. So we are helping roll out of that, including our machines, our software, and for on behalf of the small finance banks, and also through NBFCs we are rolling out. So there is a demand for these equipment in hinterland specific geographies where we have a strong rural presence.
So which means this 70 lakhs is the whole transaction revenue, or is even this also part of some POS?
No, that is the transaction.
Revenue.
There is no material cost in that.
Okay. Which means it is likely to grow only from this level?
For sure, yes.
And about this, the one-time fraud which has happened, how is it shaping up, sir? Will we get back that money, or it is kind of out?
Well, the investigations have identified the culprits, and some of them have been taken into custody now. And it is the specific geography of Assam where this has happened. But the most important culprit is still at large, and we are in the process of trying to, the police is in the process of trying to take him into custody. Once that happens, then we'll have a sense of how much recovery is possible from this incident. So at this point, I wouldn't like to comment as to what is likely to be the result of that, the entire process.
But as a prudent measure, this
we have provided for the full amount.
Full amount has been provided in the books.
That's fine. Thank you. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit Mahindale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the follow-up. Sir, the subsidiary break-even that we are contemplating, are we targeting that in H1 or H2?
Sorry, can you just repeat?
Both subsidiaries that we expect to break-even, will it happen in the first half of the year, or it will take in the second half?
Yeah, our target is to reach break-even in the first half for both.
Okay, great. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
Well, thank you very much. And I'd like to thank all the shareholders for their active participation and their good questions that they directed at us. In conclusion, I'd like to say that the performance for the year has been subdued, and the management is taking several measures to grow the core business and turn around the performance in the new initiatives that we have taken. With renewed focus on sales initiatives across all the verticals and strident cost reduction measures, we are confident of improving the performance in the current financial year. I want to express my gratitude for your continued support to Radiant. We are confident that our continuous efforts will yield promising results for all stakeholders. Thank you all for your time and your continuing interest in our company. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.